Amen. That's the two things you need to be saved. Same two things came out of your side, two things that'll save you. Amen. You got to contact the blood. Amen. So I always tell people up front what they must do to be saved. So I don't want you to miss it. If you die in the middle of the worship service, at least I told you up front. So if you want to come down here now, we'll stop service and baptize you right now. We'll just stop everything we're doing because that your soul is that important to us. Amen. Now, this week we've had a busy week. DBS was an awesome, awesome time with the church at Highland Heights. We ought to be tired, amen. VBS every night. How many of y'all made VBS every night of the week? Every night of the week. Every night. I was here every night, every night, every night. And then I had two funerals. We had two funerals, three funerals. Like two Friday and one Saturday. And we were scattering and cooking and supporting. And so been a lot going on this week. And then yesterday wrapped up with a picnic. Really, really good picnic. So hats off to all the members of church, Highland Heights, who've done serve the Lord. And I mention that now because serving God is daily. Daily. Worshiping God we do on the first day of the week. We serve him every day of our life, but we worship. This is corporate worship where we come together and assemble as commanded, that the Christians come together and assemble, amen, as a family we come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, this week, I've been talking the last few weeks about the heart, meaning the mind, when man, if you can just visualize the brain, the skull is the place information come into. It's got to penetrate the skull to get to the brain. In the case of the Bible, the Word of God must penetrate through the ears to get to the mind. Inside of the heart, the head is the heart. Inside of this heart, this cavity, is a mind. And that mind then has decision-making processes. And the way we become spiritual men and women is that the Word of God come into our ears, and in our mind, it connects and mixes with faith. And we talked about this, if you go back and listen to the sermons I preached last few weeks, about the heart, how the good heart is a good and honest heart. One must be good, must be honest, and then one must receive the Word of God into the mind, and the mind then connects with a belief system called faith. When the Word of God comes in, the faith, believe in the Word of God, then you start acting and behaving according to the Word of God. Now, that's, and then the trigger, once your mind is, mind is wicked, and I talk about how wicked, you cannot be saved by just on your own thought process. We sin in thought. So you got to have a way to be forgiven, and you got to also know that there's something that flags your mistakes, and that is your conscience. Your conscience will flag your mistakes. They're going to either accuse you or excuse you. So and those are the lessons we just, but I thought maybe then we'll look at how do you become spiritual when you start taking this information, the Word of God, into your mind. And I believe when he said a good and honest heart, it's going to be people who can admit who they are. And so this series of lessons I'm going to be talking about in the next few weeks is going to be how do you get there? Because in the end, there's a fight. There's a fight. But you got to get there. You got to get a start. And the start of it is admission. You got to admit who you are. And in the text I'm going to look at this morning in Acts chapter 14, we'll look at this one at the first lesson from this series. And it's called Stand Upright and Admit. Then we'll stand upright this afternoon and permit. Then you got to commit. Then you have to submit. Then you have to fight because the end is coming. So that's like six different sermons. So the first one is admit, which is a very serious matter when it comes to your soul. You can play the game called church. You can play the game called religion, or you can be serious about going to heaven. Amen. One thing I don't need to help you with is dying. You're going to die. You already know that. You don't need no Bible for that. But if you're seriously trying to get to heaven, then don't listen to this foolishness about just being good and just believing. No, you got to do what God has told you to do. Amen. So you can play the game. You can be serious. And if you can be serious about this, then this morning I'm going to come into your life. As I always try to do, I try to come into your life by going to my life too. And I have to go in there and looking at me. And you have to go in there looking at me. So I encourage you to look at yourself. In this case, Paul was getting ready to preach in Acts chapter 14 and verse 7. He was preaching the gospel. The Bible says, and there they preached the gospel. So the gospel is the start, the beginning of us all getting okay with God. And the gospel is the story of Jesus Christ suffering for you. This has to have meaning for all of us that Jesus, God, loved us and his son would suffer and be executed on a Calvary's hill for us with nails in his hands and his feet. If the fact that God loved you and gave his only son doesn't cause you to want to think, you won't ever be saved. If the gospel is the only power God has to save, this God offers to save in Romans 1:16. So I'm saying to you, at some point, when you get serious about going to heaven, you got to see the cross. You got to see the suffering Savior who shed his blood for you. You got to know you need that blood. You need it. You need to be washed in that blood. In baptism, you need to be in the blood that purchased the church. You need to be drinking that blood every week. And when you know you can't do this without God, you'll try to suck the bottom out of the cup. In other words, you want all the blood you can get. God, brothers and sisters, if you are honest, I say if you are honest, we are some corrupted folk. We're sinners. Amen. We've messed up. Amen. We have no hope without God. Amen. Ain't one of us walking in this room that coming here today came in here without some sin issue in our life. We have no business looking down at anyone else. If we look at the cross, we see hope. If we look at the people, we'll see sin. That's what you'll see. And you'll look at the people, you'll see sin. But if you look at Jesus, you'll never see sin. You'll never see ugliness. You'll never see anyone wrong you. You only see love. And so love will get you there. Now, love will cause you to serve, cause you to obey. It'll cause you to give your life to God. And that's the beginning of it. So he preached the gospel, and that's why I do this today as well. However, then there was a man there. He said, there sat a certain man at Lystra. He was impotent in feet.
Being a cripple from his mother's womb.
This man had never walked. And the same heard
Paul speak.
This man heard Paul speak. And
steadfastly beholding
he looked
him
at him steadfastly.
And perceiving that he had faith to be healed.
All right, read.
Said with a loud voice.
Paul said, well, I will stand up all right on thy
feet. Stand upon thy feet. And he leaped
and
walked.
Now. We have to look at self for this to help us. So, in other words, there's a view that people have of life, a view we have of Christianity, a view we have of what we must be in our sight of God. We have all these views of us. But you have to shift the view. In order to get to heaven, you have to change a view to you. Paradigm shifting. I'll give you an example of a paradigm shift. And that is, a man is on his way home from work. He's on his way home from work. Tired day, hard day at work. He's on his way home, and he's slowly driving down the street. And all of a sudden, this speeding red Mustang comes down the road, and he blows by him and runs him off into the ditch. And the man is really upset, and he's angry, and he's mad at this guy who's rude and inconsiderate, and this person has ran him off the street, and he's just a no good person in a red Mustang. So he's angry. He got road rage. He's very upset. And so he finally gets home, and as soon as he pulls up at the house, his wife walks out. She runs out to the car and says, honey, we got to go to the emergency room. Our son has been in a terrible accident. He's been in a terrible accident. And so so surely she get in the car with him, and they go to the emergency room. And then you have to see this with your eyes. The emergency room door is open. You know how they open up and you walk in. And when they walked in, they could see clearly that the nurses and doctors in the ER were trying to resuscitate their son and trying to save him. And they were working on him. And the mom was trying to get to him. And they says, ma'am, you got to wait. The doctors are working on your son. They're trying to save him. Surely they sit down and wait. And after a while, the doctor comes out of the room, and he tells the parents that we got him stable, and we think he's going to be all right. He's going to make it. He's going to be all right. And they said, oh, thank you, doctor. Thank you. He said, no, don't thank me. Go thank that gentleman outside. He said, hi, there was just a man outside. So they go, they leave the ER and go outside. And when they walked through the ER doors, the doors came open. And the father and the mother walked out. And there was a man in a red Mustang with his head down on the steering wheel. And the father of the son recognized that Mustang. And what he realized is that the man that he was mad at, the man that he viewed as no good and inconsiderate, willing to kill other folk, was the same man that was rushing his son to the hospital. And because of that man rushed his son to the hospital, even though he ran him off the road, his view shifted. It shifted from a man who was no good and inconsiderate to a man who loved his son, who risked his life and others to save his son. His view changed. And guess what? He didn't have to pray about it. He didn't have to say, let me think about it. He shifted. His view changed on the spot. Some of us have a view of ourselves that has to change. Some of us don't see ourselves as sick. We sick. Every one of us is sick. All of us are sin-sick people. And Jesus said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. Every one of us understands something. We got to see ourselves as sick people who need a doctor. We need a physician, and we need a hospital, and we need medication. Every one of us need it. So are you one today that can admit that you are a sinner? Can you admit to you that you're sick? Can you admit that you can't do this without God? Can you admit you need a prescription? When you admit it, you can understand that your view must change, that you are not okay. You're not okay missing worship. You're not okay not being baptized. You're not okay not drinking the blood. You're not okay. You'll never be okay. You can always need the doctor. You can always need the hospital. And you always need the medication. You can always need instructions from the physician. He's the only one can save you. Or you're going to die with this disease. What is the disease you're talking about, Brother Brooke? S-I-N. Every one of us are sin sick. That's why preachers don't need no robes and big chairs. They sick. Man. They need to be in the hospital bed like everybody else. Man. Amen, somebody. Don't you ever believe Brother Brooks or any man who stands up here is beyond sin. That's a lie. And if he said, he's a liar. Amen. I come here every week because I know I can't get there without God. I'm going to drink the blood. I tell the minister to him, I try to suck the blood out the bottom of the cup and get me an extra one if I could. I know I need the medicine. That's what I'm saying. If the doctor tells you you got cancer, you better take some medicine. Yeah, cancer going to kill you. And cancer, sin is nothing but cancer. The first thing you got to do with cancer is put it in remission. But just because it's in remission don't mean it ain't still in your body. It's just you're taking medication to keep it in remission. Baptism is the first place you put the sin cancer in remission. But it'll come back alive and kill you. You got to keep doing what the doctor tells you to do. You got to go to the hospital the doctor says go to. You got to be in the hospital that the doctor, that wears the doctor's name. There's only one doctor. He's Dr. Jesus. There's one hospital. It's the Church of Christ. The medication is the blood of Christ. You can't get around it, not use this book. Amen. You can't get around it. So what is this all about admitting? Let's go back to this text and let me show you what happened with this man. That's there the man that listened, verse 8. Now this man was impotent. He was impotent in his feet.
Being crippled from his mother's womb.
Now notice how long he'd been like this, since the day he was born.
He had never walked.
Here's what I'm saying. Many people today are so sick. They've been sick since childhood. They never walked with Jesus. They've never stood upright on their feet. These people have been dependent on others all their life. But I'm going to tell you something. No one can help you get to heaven but you. You're going to have to do it God's way because you want to do it God's way. Can't nobody make you do it God's way. Can't nobody make you obey God. Can't nobody make you stand upright on your feet. But you're going to have to get up if you want to get to heaven. Listen to the Bible. He said, the same heard Paul speak.
Who steadfastly beholding him.
Now Paul, he was looking directly at Paul.
And perceiving that he had faith to be healed.
Paul looked at him and said, this man know he can be healed. He perceived and said with a loud voice. This man was standing there.
Stand up.
Paul
right
looked
on
at
that
him.
Feet.
He looked at him. And then when Paul, he was sitting. And Paul said with a loud voice. He said, he was sitting like this. He had never walked. Paul looked at him. He looked at Paul, looked at that intently. He knew that this was his only hope. And Paul shouted. Paul said,
stand upright on thy feet.
On your feet. The Bible said he leaped
and walked.
The man wanted to get up. He was tired of being in that situation. He saw hope. He heard hope in the message of the gospel. When people want to get saved, they'll stand upright and they'll leap. You don't have to beg them to come down the aisle, beg them to come to church. Beg them to wait. When a person sees themselves in an undone condition, they will leap. Amen. This man was impotent. What do you mean? He was without power. He couldn't help himself. Every one of us are impotent. We feeble, y'all. We need help. And the longer I live, the more I know this. The longer I've been in the church, the more I know. The more I go through, the more I know this. The more I watch folk dying around me. The more of a reality it is, we are sick people. We in trouble, y'all. We impotent. We have no power to save ourselves. We have no power to save ourselves. That's my emphasis on this heart thing, is that you better get it up here that you can't do this without God. When you get it, you will live a better life. You'll be happier every day. You are being at peace with God because you focus on a relationship with God and you're trying to get there and you know you know in your heart, I'm doing the best I can according to God's word. You can live a peaceful life. But when you don't know, your conscience going to get you. Your conscience going to accuse you. It's going to say, you know you ain't no good. You ain't no better. You ain't trying. Quit lying. Your conscience will tell you that. So let's look at this. If somebody finally in a state of your life, you are at a point you're ready to make a change, then I'm suggesting that you got to admit some things. You got to admit some things. You got to stand upright on your feet, get up, and look at you. You got to look at you. Are you tired of being in that same old spiritual rut you've been in? Same old place, using the same old excuses? That's all they are. A bunch of excuses not to be the best you can for God. We use all kind of excuses, work excuses, business excuses. I'm too busy. I got this. I got that. It's a bunch of excuses. You're where you are because you ain't want to be no better. You haven't admitted that you're not as good as you should be. You haven't admitted you, and you ain't liking what I'm saying right now because what I'm doing, I'm coming right into your head. I'm coming because you know and I know that we all know ourselves. We know when we make a bunch of excuses. Don't we, church? Don't get quiet. Or is that evidence that you're really listening? Which is it? Evidence is that you should be listening because I am telling the truth. From kids to adults, this applies. And that's what I'm saying. You got to be setting yourself. You got to be looking at yourself. If you don't make some change, you're going to be in the same spot you in. This year, next year, you're going to be in the same spiritual spot. Amen, Brother Brooks. Sometimes I like my own preaching. What are you saying, bro? All of us got to stand upright. Amen. Let me give you some stuff to think about. Stop blaming God for your mistakes, your stagnations. God didn't. When is it going to be about you? Stop blaming God and blame everybody else. Don't blame your ex-wife, your ex-husband, your ex-boyfriend, your ex-girlfriend. Don't blame everybody else. Stop blaming folk. When it comes down to you and God, if you and God are connected, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. So you blame God for your failure. You're blaming everything else for your failure. When the problem is you, the problem is you. So when, here's my point. Until I can admit my soul belongs to me. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to me. If my soul is not important to me, you think I'm going to work hard at saving yours? Who would do that? Who would work hard to save somebody else and they don't even save themselves? You know that wouldn't work. That don't even make sense. So what are you saying, brother? What are you saying? If it comes down to you admitting, because let me see if I give you some things to think about. Can you admit if this shoe fit, work? If it don't fit, just don't worry about it. But if it fit, just wave your hand. Right when I come down by you. If you want to just acknowledge, that's me. But here's how you acknowledge it that's going to help you right here. Acknowledge it to God. God, that's me he's talking about right now. So who in here can admit you weak? You're a weak Christian. You might be a Christian, but you're a weak one. You know you're weak. You feeble. You find yourself falling every week at the same time, all the time, with the same sin. You know you're doing it. You're weak. Your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. You're weak. And you got to admit you're weak. You won't put a weak deer in a herd and put him at the back because the lion gonna kill him. The herd has to protect him. If you're not coming here, you know you're weak. You ain't coming among us. We can help you. But if you don't admit it, you ain't coming back. You don't come to Bible class, even sir, none of that. Because you're weak. But when you gonna admit it? Admit. You and somebody might be in here in the verge of giving up. You know, I just don't know. I done tried and tried and tried. Every time I try, I got to take 2 steps forward and 3 backward. I know that's what you're saying. That's an excuse. You admit you the one giving up. God ain't gave up on you. God hasn't give up on you. You can be who you want to be in the eyesight of God. But you doing it. Admit it's you. It's your decision. You say, I've tried to, you tried over and over to stop sinning, now you're feeble. You admit you have nowhere else to turn. At some point, you got to say, if I can't turn to God, where am I going to turn? You have nowhere else to turn. You have nowhere else to turn. Admit you're the ones depressed and stressed out because the life of your past, you're living in your past, you can't forgive folk, everything, you bring it into your present, you every day of your life is filled with a bunch of foolishness, of stuff you can't undo, you can't change other people to be what you want them to be. Here you are stressed out, you can't sleep good, you're mad all the time, you're angry, you got all these emotions because all you're focusing on is all the other stuff rather than you. You okay right now? Many people live in their past. They live in what folk done done. The answer to the past is forgiveness. One thing I am learning is the how to do this in this present. One thing that works for me is that if somebody say I done something, I just simply say forgive me. I don't even argue with them no more. I don't try to defend I did. Oh, I didn't mean to. Or did. I say, I'll tell you what, the best answer, the easiest thing for me to do is say forgive me. But you know what I noticed? As soon as you say forgiveness, they don't say nothing else to you. You want to know why? Because that wasn't what they wanted. What they wanted was a fight. What they wanted was me to appeal to them. What they wanted was me to beg them. But I'm saying what God wants is me to forgive you. He wants you to forgive me, and I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I hate nobody. You should be able to say, I can forgive anybody. And I can also admit sometimes you don't do things right. Sometimes you mess up. Sometimes you have to say, you know what, I didn't mean it like that. But I'm just saying it's easier now. Rather say, I didn't mean it. I'm doing this. I just say, can you do this for me? What is it, brother? Just forgive me. So whatever wrong I done, God is pleased that I asked for forgiveness. And you know what I'm going to do? I can extend it back. Can you honestly say you have no ill feelings for anyone? Can you honestly say you harbor no ill feelings? Can you honestly say you're able to forgive? Your life, you got to admit, if you don't make change, your life is headed down a dead-end street. You're not going to get anywhere like this. What about somebody needs to admit, you know, you're addicted to drugs, you're crippled, you're just like this man, you lame. Drugs, marijuana, crack cocaine, all these things, prescription drugs these days, is driving you, it's your God. You got to admit that stuff is killing you. You got to admit you're crippled by alcohol, taking you down, drunkenness, over and over repeatedly. Wake up sober one morning, drunk next morning. Amen. And when you going to admit that the alcohol, who can admit you're crippled by some sexual sin, adultery, fornication, or homosexuality? Somebody said, well, Brother Brooks, I was born this way. No, God, that's not according to the Bible. You weren't born that way. The Bible, you made a decision to be this way. Amen. You're going to have to admit, God didn't do that to you. That's what the world telling you. You can change just like the drunk. You can change just like the liar. There's no worse big sin than little sin. But homosexuality is a sin. So is fornication. So is adultery. So is watching pornography. Who in here can admit? What are you looking at? What are you listening to? You crippled. You sick. Amen. Sick. Women sick. Men sick. Children sick. Sick. Say it with me. Sick. Sick-minded. Every one of us got a sick mind. Don't look at me funny. I said every one of us got a sick mind. We better put it under the care of the physician. If you want a mind change, you gotta make a decision. Get up and walk. Some people, you're crippled by a sin nobody know about but you and God. You're going to the grave with that one. You better seek forgiveness. Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We ought to fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Nothing else matters what you did in your life on the dash between the time you were born and the dash in between the time you were born and the time you died. The question is, doing on that dash, can you say, I fear God and kept his commandments during the dash period? If you can't do it during the dash period, you don't want to die like that. What is the dash period? The time from between the birth and death. With me, you better have fear of God and kept his commandments. He said, for this is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Brothers, sisters, the best thing to do is admit there are no secrets between you and God. You just thought you got away with it. What are you doing, Brother Brooks? Trying to help us. Trying to help us stop looking at people and start looking at ourselves. Folk, just look at this. You're crippled. The fact you have no relationship with God, you know you're not at peace with God. You put you on your deathbed right now, you freak out. Why? You know you're not at peace. You're not okay. Why? You're sick. You're not okay. I mean, if you're on your deathbed, want to die right now. I pose this question to minister. How many of y'all want to die? Nobody wants to die. How many of y'all want to go to heaven? Yeah. Do you fear death? Yes. Why you fear death? Well, we start looking at the unknowns, and I fear death because I don't know how I'm going down. I fear death, and the list went on and on and on. All these reasons why I don't want to die like I am right now. Well, then you know what you're doing. That's why. No, it's not that you fear death. You don't want to die because you know what you're doing. You know if you die right now like you are, you're not going to heaven. That's what you know. It's fearing dying like you are. They would say, well, yeah, well, I fear death. But here's the thing. I showed them in this. I said, now, let me ask you a question. I said, every one of them say they fear death. Oh, everyone, they fear death. Yeah. And they say, you fear death? Yeah. I don't fear death like that, though. Jesus said, don't don't fear the man that can help handle the physical body. You fear him that can restore both body and soul in hell. See, the problem is, you wouldn't fear death if you feared God. Missed it. See, once I'm fearing God, then death is just a reality. It's just a matter of when. See, because I already know. If I fear God and keep the commandments, then death ain't the issue. It's a reality. But for some of us, death is a reality, but the relationship is not so whole with God. And the reason, the fear is in the wrong spot. See, the fear is in death, but if the fear was in God, the fear wouldn't be in death. Because I fear God and I would keep his commands. That's how you live without fear and death. You fear God. It's quiet this morning. That mate stuff just makes a person have to think about everything, don't they? Well, so what do you mean? Is it your life? What's the problem? Is it your heart? Is the fact that you know your life is leaving you? Is the fact that you know you got something going on with you and you got an issue called sin in your life and you want some more grace? You know, Lord, give me some time. Give me some grace. You know, I want my grace, waiting on my grace. Now, what you're trying to do is live in sin right up to the end and then get forgiveness. Ain't that what the world offers? Yeah, the world offers us that, don't it? You can live good all the way up to the end. Then, Lord, accept you as my personal Savior. I know, because now you want to die and saved. But your life, you wasn't ready for that. You didn't want to die saved. Now, let's get to some personal things. Let's see. So let me get to the senior adults and mid-age adults. Let me just ask y'all some questions. Do you need to admit that some of you all have marital problems and both of you can't be right? You are part of the problem. Can you admit that? Can you admit you have a financial situation and you got yourself in that situation because you overspend, you overdone some things? Can you admit your health problems are related to you and the way you've lived and what you've done, the drink, what you put in your body, a lot of stuff you got going on with you is related to the way you are? Can you admit that you are depressed and you need help? You don't want to get no help, but you're in depression? Can you admit your past is killing you, it's haunting you, your conscience is bothering you? Can you admit, daddy in here, can you admit you know you ain't been the father to your children just like you should have been? You already know that, brother. You know you're not the man you should have been. You should have been there for your children. You haven't been a spiritual leader for your home. You know it. And when you going to admit it? When you going to admit you ain't been the spiritual leader you should have been? You should have led your wife to the Lord. You should have led your children to the Lord. You should have been. You ought to be the first one at the church building. The wife comes to the church building. The children come and you don't even come, brother. When you going to admit you just ain't the leader you should be? Now, you know, am I bothering you? I hope so. That means you still got a conscience. We got more sisters leading their children to the Lord than men. Amen. When you men gonna stand up and be men? Be leaders. When you gonna admit you're not? What about a woman here? When you admit you're not the mother you should have been to your children? You haven't been the mother you should have been to them children? Some children will run away, then their children are thrown away by their own mama. Not that form. More focused on them and their boyfriends and girlfriends. Boyfriend, maybe girlfriend these days, but boyfriends. We don't know. Children see a man coming in and out of the house. Oh, different man. This next month, another man. Different ones. And how long are you going to live with them without marriage? I mean, the children seeing all this stuff. We wonder why the homes are messed up. Because mom and daddy messed up in the home. They sick. Sick. You know what? I wanted to always tell the story right around here to give me hope. You know, I was a no good father too when I was 15 years old. I had a baby at 15. You know, I was being managed. My mama called me managed, and I was. And that's just the truth. Yeah, the girl was 16, I was 15. Amen, somebody. And I didn't have nothing to do with that baby. I had nothing to do with it. I'm trying to help the men who ain't no good at it. I was no good at you. I was a sorry joker, boy. Didn't take care of that child. Yeah, they brought her down and showed my mama. Mama said, I said, Mama, that's not my baby. She said, shut up, look just like your little managed tail. She sure did. She was telling the truth. Look just like me. Look just like my little Tommy Brooks. Yeah, couldn't have denied. I was trying my best. I didn't own up to it all the way up to the time I was grown. Now, my brother got killed. I became a Christian. And then, you know, I tried to reach out to my daughter, and she didn't really want to have nothing to do with me. Finally, she came, called me to come stay with me. And, yeah, I let her stay with me, and she stayed with me. I told her to be at home at 12 o'clock, and she wasn't home at 12 o'clock midnight. And I busted in her room. I hit that door. I said, hey, what did I tell you about this? And her eyes got that big. I busted in that room, and I hit there. Told you to be in here at 12 o'clock. So she, years later, on her Father's Day, I got a plaque. Yeah, yeah. She gave me a plaque, man. I got my plaque in my office. Y'all want to see my plaque? Best dad plaque. She said, she said, Daddy, you remember that day, that night when you busted in my room and told me about that? And what I tell you? She said, right then, I said, that's my daddy. He said, yeah, and my daddy. You know, I done graduated now. I got, this past Father's Day, I got me a best papa plaque. Number one. I'm a number one papa. I said, man, I got it going on. I got a best daddy plaque. Now I'm the number one papa. I done graduated. Moving on up in life. Amen. That just told me I was getting older, too. I said, oh, Lord. Now I done went from best dad to best papa. I like my papa plaque. How many of y'all brothers got a papa plaque? Them grandkids ought to know you love them. Even though I want to send them home, come love me and go home. Y'all done got too old. Yeah, you know how the grasshoppers do. We'll get back to this. I'm just trying to encourage the brother. Amen. You know, it ain't never too late, the brother, to be a better daddy and a better father. Let me get down and close this out. Let me talk to the young adults. When you gonna admit you need to be more serious than you are about your relationship with God? When you gonna admit you gotta let go of those worldly friends? They ain't doing nothing pulling you down. At what point you going to admit you got to stop going to the clubs and socially drinking during the week on Saturdays and expect to be God? At what point you just get married and stop living together and shacking and stuff? At what point don't you realize that's suicidal? That's spiritual suicide. At some point you got to say, man, we got to stop this. We can't keep doing this. Just get married. And I tell you to the women, the girls, that what I heard growing up, why buy the cow? It's the milk free. That's what I heard. You know what that means? Give it. Give up. Yeah. Why buy her? Why marry her? She give me what I want. If a man love you, he'll love your soul. Amen. But as I said earlier, if he don't love his own soul, he ain't going to love yours either. Because he got to think about, you know what, I got to do this for me. I ain't got to do it. I ain't doing it for you. This is for my salvation. And then in turn, I'm doing it for you too. Because first, I love myself. And then I'm going to love you well. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Save yourself. That's one area you can be selfish in. I know that's the issue with young adults. Because you want to try. And it sounds good. It sounds real good. Well, we're trying to get ourselves together. You know, I make a little money. She make a little money. We bring it together, saving money, getting ready for college. We're getting ready for this and getting ready for that. Now, you're getting ready to die. What you're getting ready to do, die just like that. Amen. So what you're saying is foolish. You got a game plan as if God is not even in the picture. Don't you know God can say, over? Marriage is the answer, young adults. And don't marry somebody who don't have a different belief from you. Marry somebody who's going to help you get to heaven. Don't unequally yoke. Marry someone who don't believe. Who don't believe in the Bible. The Bible's right. T-I-U. Let me get to the you. Remember, you can die young. Some of you young kids, you got to admit, you're a disobedient child. You don't need your mama to tell you this either. You know how bad you are. You're bad. You disobedient. You're talking back to your mama. You disrespect them. You drive your own mama to the graveyard. Some of you children are going to kill your own mother. But here's my warning to you. You can keep being disrespectful, or you can do like when I preached this a few years ago back in Austin. The kids got on the phone and started calling home, talking to their mom and asking for forgiveness. You can change that, young man. But here's what you want. Ecclesiastes 7:17 says, you can be overly wicked and die before your time. What's my warning to you young people? Don't play with God. Amen. Because you can die young. You say, well, Brother Brooks, you trying to scare us? Yes. Scare the hell out of you. What do you mean, Brother Rick? Stop. You're going to hell. That's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
You don't have to do your mama that way. There's nothing more disgusting to me than to see a child talking back to his mama. My mother never allowed us to do no foolishness like that. And some of you mothers need to start slapping them in their mouth. They'll stop that. Well, you tell a child abuse, you ain't hurt them. If you don't do it, they're going to kill them in the streets. I'm talking to the kids this morning. Some of you are so disrespectful. You don't have to be like that. You can admit today you're going to stop being that way. You don't get but one mama. And when she's gone, guess what? You don't get another one. Go home and say, I'm sorry. Look at your mama, tell you you're sorry. Ask her to forgive you and admit you need to be a better child to your parent, that you want to be somebody. You need to work hard at being better. Stop this stuff, allowing this stuff in these rappers, putting in your head, cursing and lying and cheating and stealing, all that stuff. Stop all that and start listening and being respectful as a child and love your mama and your daddy and grow up and be somebody. Pull your pants up. Take your do-rag off and work your wave. That's okay with me, but you don't have to be a fool. Pull your pants back up. That amazes me. I don't understand that. That's one fad I hope will just hair up and leave. And then what's worse now, you got grown folk that are doing it now. Grown men. I mean, who want to see your boxer? I don't. And what made me, they don't understand, they trip themselves because they have to walk like this. Feet have to be out. I don't understand how feet out is cool. I want something out. I'm serious, man. Now, this is, I'm serious. This is a real talk. I'm just doing real stuff. But this is just real. But I just, yeah. I don't get it. You know, when we walked in, I had an afro. Now, I had bell bottoms and platforms. That's what we did. Okay. Amen. And when I walked in, I walked like this. I was like, yeah, you know, at least I didn't walk like like a duck. And then the police said, boom, he's like, pants drop, he flipped right there. Get up, son, handcuffs. Ain't that something? Hey, bro, the brother gonna get caught because these pants gonna drop. You know he gets scared anyway. The dude's scared, man, he's scared. You say, boo, he goes, whoa. I don't get it. I'm just, let me stop, y'all. Y'all ready to go home? I got them. I like good waves, boy. I wish I had enough hair to get some wave. I try to put some stuff in my hair and make mine wave up. I wear that do-rag, too, boy. I put that do-rag on at night, and I get in the car with it, and I roll it up here right before I get around. Y'all pull my do-rag off. I be trying to work my wave, though. Be like them kids. But I keep my pants pulled up. I'm just saying, pull your pants up. And work your wave. It's okay. I went through the family. I went through the children. And I hope the kids, I came at you real hard because some of y'all, I'm going to have to do your funeral if you don't stop. That's what I'm concerned about. They said, Brother Brooks, you should have, I said something to them. If it was one of Holly Heights kids, I told them, you don't have to be that way. I wasn't disrespectful to my mama. I love my mama. You can go love your mama. Go love her. Go back. I'm appealing to. Children, admit you don't have to be as bad as you are. Admit what you're doing to your mama. And I use mama because that's more sensitive. I'm talking to the parents, and you got to be better parents. Admit you ain't the parents you should be and start working together. You know what I'm finding in marriage counseling now? Most marriages are in problem because there's no mutual decision. You're living in a divided home. Divided home cannot stand. I don't understand why anybody think you can go and live with two check accounts. That's divided home, the scripture is telling you. A house divided against itself cannot stand. When two become one, they become one flesh. What's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. Or it ain't no marriage. It's real quiet. I talk to the mamas. I talk to the daddies. I talk to the young adults. Now, I'm saying today is that if all of us don't see who we are, what we got to do, we got to admit where we are, we got to admit where we need to be better at. How many of y'all already know you can admit where you're short at? Huh? Can you do it? Can you say amen for me? If you can say, I admit, brother, I know where I'm at. I'm going to be with you. I'm right there with you. I got mine tagged. I already got a tag hanging on. That's me. That's me right there. Amen. How many of y'all can say that me right there? Huh? That's me right where? Right there. That's me. I know what my weakness is. I know what my sin is. I know what I'm dealing with. I know why I come to this church building. I'm sick, man. I need help. I need Jesus. He's my doctor. Jesus hung on the cross. He shed his blood. That blood is my medication. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the blood. I believe he stayed there for me, Brother McKenzie. I believe I'm the one who need it. I believe I'm the one who need to come to the hospital. That's the church building. In here is going to be other sick patients. Ain't no missus meet me mad at this sick patient. I don't speak to this sick patient. All three of us sick, and all three of us need the same doctor and the same medicine, and we all here for the same reason, because we all got the same sickness, which is called sin. And I got baptized to put that sickness in remission so it didn't kill me. I come here to listen to the doctor every week to get instructed how to stay saved. And now I get the instruction how to stay saved. The doctor give me a shot of medication. And then when those who are drug addicts, they stay around crack houses. And those who are word addicts, when I finish preaching here, you say, I hope Brother Brooks hear up and finish. But afterwards, you're going to be outside talking about it. You got a little shot of your addict. You ain't going nowhere real quick because you're a word addict. You want some more of the word in you. That's what happened. See, crack addicts hang around crack houses. Word addicts hang around church houses. I'm addicted. That's in the book, too. I'll show y'all that. You know, everything I say is in the book. They call it word act. You ain't know that. It's in the First Corinthians. I go to read all the Bible, you'll run into it. Just look up addicted. Look up. Man, the boss said he was addicted to the word. I'm addicted to the word. I'm hooked. I'm showing up hooked. Here's where I am really hooked at, is that Tommy Brooks cannot do this without God. That's it. Greg, I can't do it, Greg. How many of y'all can admit that? How many of y'all can admit we really messed up people? Amen. This world is filled with them. And we all in the world. The way we make a difference is that we keep our focus with God. And we keep our focus right, we can make a difference in the world. Amen, somebody. So if you're here today, you're not a Christian, you got to believe Jesus hung, bled, and died for you. You got to believe that with all of your mind, all of your heart. You got to repent of your sin. You got to confess him to be the Son of God before these people. I said, I'm going to ask you, do you believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God? You say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8:37. Then after that, we'll baptize you for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. You'll go down in the water of your grave with baptism. Under the water, you contact the blood of Jesus, Revelation 1:5. And then that blood wash away your sin, Acts 22:16. You receive the Holy Spirit, and then you come up in a relationship with God, and then the Lord will add you to the role of the church, which is the hospital. That's God's business, not mine. I don't have a church for you to join. But if you want to obey God, you obey him, and he'll put you on the roll. Then you just follow the doctor's instructions. The doctor said, one day I'm going to come back and take all the patients home. Ain't that good? That's good. So here you are. Here's who I want to come. Those who are not members of Church Christ, I flagged you from the beginning of this sermon to right now. I'm telling you, you're not saved until you get baptized and in the true church. I'm talking to you. You can be baptized today. I'm talking to the members of the church. All of us can get right. We can ask for forgiveness where you are, or you can come down here and ask the church to pray for you. Say, you know what? I need the church to pray for me right now. I'm trying to get out of this sin on me. And that's okay. You need prayer. I mean, prayer may be the only thing saving your life. And to the young people, prayer may be the only thing saving you. It might be your mama's prayer. But you don't have to leave like that. You can repent, go act back to your mom and daddy and tell them you're sorry. You're going to be a better child than them. Or you can come down here and say in front of them. Say in front of the whole church. Tell your mama. And do something good for her for a change. Make her feel better about who she is. That's my child now. She don't even want to own up to you. I'm talking to them kids. I'm talking to members of the church. You know you have not been faithful like you should. Why don't you restore today? Why don't you just come home and say, I just want to do it God's way, Brother Brooks. I can admit. I haven't done it. I want you to come. A father need to come. A mother need to come. Children can come. Grandmother, grandfather can come. Maybe you need a papa plaque. Maybe you need a daddy plaque. A mama plaque. A grandmama plaque. And just a better child plaque. All of us need to get us a new plaque and put on your and brag on your plaque when you get it. I'm a better child. I got my better child plaque. Now, if your child changed, give him a plaque and give it to him so he has something like Brother Brooke. See, I want to be like Brother Brooke. I got a better plan here. I hope my mama would say I give him a good son plaque. I hope my mama would say that. I don't know. I think she would, though. I was pretty good to her. Yeah. Now, what's your mama going to say about you? What do you want them to do, Brother? I'm appealing to y'all to come. Now, you say, Brother, I don't have no daddy. Well, I'll be your daddy. Come on. Come on over here and let me love you. I'll show you what love is. What are you saying, Brother? It's about your soul. If that help you, I'll help you. That's a lot of men here be your daddy. There's some mamas here be your mama. Let us help you. That's what I'm trying to do. And what's the moral of this whole lesson, y'all? Admit we need what? Help. That's it. Who want help this morning? We got a song of encouragement? I want you to hear what happened. As soon as you stand up, if you're one of those who need help, I want you to walk to the front and let us pray with you today. Come get baptized today. Come ask for forgiveness. That's together we stand and sing.